would, turn in your Bibles or follow along the screen with me in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as usual, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled." Pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, I am again just blown away by the opportunity that you continue to, the opportunities that you continue to put in front of me to preach your word, to preach truth. Lord, I pray that in this time with this church gathered, Lord, that the distractions that they might have would be bound at the door, Lord, that all of the things that they brought with them, all the struggles that may happen during this time of this season where we have so many families that are in contact and all those things that might be brought with them, Lord, that they would just leave those at the door so that they could be totally focused on you and your truth. Lord, I know that I have strict judgment on myself right now for preaching your word, and I pray that I am true to it and I follow your spirit's guiding. It's in your son Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. All right, first thing I'm going to do is make a weird noise drinking water. All right. So, good morning, Hope Church. I am really, really excited to actually just to physically be able to be here. My dad used to say, good to be able to be seen. When somebody says, "Hey, good to see you," he's like, "Well, I'm just glad to be able to be seen." Well, I emulate that. And Pastor Jeff's been giving you all a heads up with the Advent season that there was going to be a little bit of change up in the preaching. And so, for those of you who don't know me, I've already been introduced, and I'll just say I've got a new title. I'll just say I'm one of the preachers here at Hope. Yeah, that's blessed. Yes. Okay. Good. I got the hand raised from the chiefs. I didn't know. I didn't check with him on that one. So, all right. So I'm just like I said. I'm really excited, and today to be preaching on joy, the aspect of Advent that I just try and let pour out of me at every opportunity is just so exciting. And to go with the theme of that the kingdom of the Lord is at hand is like the kingdom joy principles that we should be living every single day. You know, because we're reminded through the Advent season that if the kingdom of joy is at hand, then the kingdom principles are being worked now. It's not about waiting for your reward in heaven. It's about living in the kingdom now. What can you do? What principles can you add to your life? All the things that we've been working in our discipleship culture, what things can we add to our daily lives that can increase the Lord's kingdom? And joy is one of those. The Advent season is all about expectancy. You know, we talked or we sang just this morning about waiting, and that's what Advent is. It's waiting for the coming King. It's that season, but I'm here to tell you that if you are waiting for the Messiah, he's already come. He's already come. He sat in his home church, in his home synagogue in Nazareth, in Luke 4, and he opened up the scroll, and he said, "I'm here. I have fulfilled this." That's why we can celebrate at Christmas time, because a baby was born during this season that was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. And that in and of itself should give us so much joy. The next verse that I want to focus on is John 15, 9 through 11. And I'm glad Pastor Jeff, he had a pretty good sermon to start us today. And he picked all the joy verses that I wasn't using. So I was like, hey, we're going to hit them all. So John 15, 9 through 11 says, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Check this out. I love this. He says, I have spoken these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. There are other versions that I love. It says, your joy may be made full. And Jeff was talking about how we have an increase of joy. And I love that it's like, yes, we have an increase of joy, but in Jesus, that increase is complete. It is full. We can't get any more full of Jesus. Like, he is the completion of our joy. Joy is a deep and abiding inner rejoicing, which was promised to those who remain in Christ and obey his commandments. Joy does not, check this out, joy does not depend on our circumstances. It rests in God's sovereign control of all things. Because if it relied on our circumstances, I mean, I am really thankful that it doesn't, because my ability to remain joyful amidst hardships and struggles, I would fail, and I would fail miserably. But thankfully, it depends on the ability to choose Jesus in light of our hardships and struggles. Joy is a byproduct of obedience. It's a byproduct of obedience. Psalms 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. In this psalm, we have a great promise. Like, he will give us the desires of our heart. But we also have a great command, delight in the Lord. The command is the condition of the promise. If someone were to ask you, should I pursue joy or should I pursue obedience? That would be like saying, should I pursue an apple or should I pursue fruit? It's you can't contrast them. The question is, can we obey that command to delight in the Lord? And through your practice of obedience, then you will be pursuing joy. Now, that's a lot like me telling my kids, if you would be obedient, life would be much better for you. And it's so true. Like, there is not... It is so true, I promise. Like, here's a great example. I've been trying to get my older son, who is a month away from being 15, which... Yes. So I am trying to get him to understand just the aspect of what it means to be a good son to his mother. Helping, doing, just being a good son. And the other day, for another transgression, he had his phone removed from him. But here's what happened is Bethany had related this story to me. She said, so when he got out of the car at school, he didn't answer me and he shut the door. So I asked him a quick question. It was gonna be a yes or no answer. He shut the door and ran off. She's like, I know he heard me. I know he heard me. I get it. And she said, but listen what happened. She said, I was driving to work after dropping them off at school, and I got a call from the school. And I was like, oh, Lord. Like, it's been 30 seconds. Like, what could possibly have gone wrong? Right? And it was Austin calling his mom. And he said, Mom, I'm really sorry that I shut the door on you. I apologize, and that's not, I didn't mean to do that or hurt your feelings in any way. How good did Mama feel? Ooh, she's like, maybe it's working. Maybe it's sinking in. And you know what I did automatically? I got his phone, and I took it to him, and I said, you call your mother anytime you want to. You have earned that right back. You have shown me that you are responsible to do that. That man, his obedience in the things that I've been teaching him works out to him, and he's getting it. He says, "Oh, this is much better. This is a much better life when Dad hugs me around my neck and says, 'I'm proud of you. Thank you for loving your mother appropriately.'" Such an important lesson for that young man. So something that joy is not, and when I realize this and I look at this, it may come as a shock to you. Joy is not happiness. Joy is not happiness. See, because happiness is a reaction to an action, whereas joy is an action derived from the Almighty God. See, because, you know, I can stick my hand inside a winter coat that I had last year and hadn't worn it since and find a $20 bill, and I am happy. But I'm about to spend that $20 bill, and then my happiness is gone. Right? It's fleeting. If you buy a new home or a new car, the new car smell fades. Right? The home, you wait a couple months, and then you realize you have a mortgage payment and insurance payments and oh goodness, we need a termite inspection and the sewer pump's not working, and you know, that happiness is fleeting, even though you have this nice new house, right? You buy a new car, it needs an oil change, or it needs new car tires, its happiness is fleeting. Those things don't bring joy to you. You might earn a promotion at work, it might come with a raise. There is happiness in that, but that is not joy. I had a really good experience of happiness the other day, okay? I have this, so I have some family members that are Kentucky State Troopers, and I love law enforcement. I'm in the military myself, so I treat them with the utmost respect. However, I have a rule that I do 9 miles over the speed limit, not 10. That's within reason. I'm terrible. I know it's something that the Lord needs to work on me more. I need to scale it back. I do when I have precious cargo in the car with me. But this is one of those things, okay? And some of you probably can relate. You're driving, okay? I should say this. I do that because my brother-in-law, Nick, who is a state trooper out of Madisonville Post, said, 9, you're fine, 10, you're mine. Okay, that's, it was one of those, he gave me that blessing, okay? Just to clarify. I feel like I had to give you that. I was just doing what I was told. Okay, so I'm driving along and down 127 and blue lights come on behind me. And I was like, Nick, you were wrong. But then the trooper sped up and passed by to go on to another call. And I was like, yes! Woo! That was so happy. Happy, man, that all of the things that I was trying to play out of how I was going to explain to my wife, you know, paying for a speeding ticket and all those things. But that's fleeting. That is not joy, right? That's not joy, because life events happen that cause the things that made us happy. They expire. They dissolve. They disappear. New homes, like I said, they lose their shininess. And as our folks and some of our friends on the West Coast have experienced, homes burn. Happiness is gone. New jobs are you know, disintegrated by the swings of the economy. You know, I mean, there's just so many things that where happiness expires, but joy is different. Joy remains because Jesus is the source of our joy. Joy endures struggles. So the Lord allowed me to experience a struggle in the last year. And I've been excited to share that testimony with the church. As some of you have followed my health saga, I'm just going to kind of give you I'm going to try and be brief, because I could probably talk for an hour on all of the mercies and the grace that was provided to me through my health issues over the last year. But just to kind of let you in on what happened with me and what I learned. On March 7th of last spring, I woke up and I was in pain. I had been having previously for 10 days prior, I had had some gallbladder pains. I had seen the doctor. The doctor's like, this is common. We'll schedule the date, get that little booger taken out. There's probably 40 or 50% of you that also are without your gallbladder. Apparently, we don't need it anymore. So I was like, cool, this is no problem. But on March 7th, I woke up and I was in an immense amount of pain. So I went back to my doctor and she said, we know what it is. There's really nothing we can do except give you pain medication. So I was like, okay, well, hook me up, because I'm hurting. So she gave me the prescription, but she said as I was leaving, she said, listen, if it really starts hurting, like if you are in a pain that you can't function anymore, you need to go to the ER. I was like, okay, I don't imagine that to be an issue, but okay. So I was at Kroger getting my prescription filled, and still I was in a bad way, and the sweet lady taking the prescription, she had to think that I was not the ideal person to be handing any narcotics because I was sweating profusely. Like I was walking hunched because I was in pain, and I like said through gritted teeth as I slapped the prescription, I was like, I'm gonna need this as soon as possible. And so they do a pretty good job of making sure that they just don't hand out narcotics to anyone. So they're like, well, sir, it's the fastest we can get it is 15 minutes. I said, okay, well, good. I've got some errands to run. So I walked through, and because I remembered the dog needed food, so I was like, all right, I'm gonna hobble through Kroger, go get some dog food, wait for my prescription. But as I was going through that, the pain got worse. And so I went to the self-checkout, bought this bag of dog food. I'm like, hunched over him. It was ridiculous, right? So I called Bethany while I'm at Kroger. And I tell her, I said, I'm gonna need you to come and get me. She said, what's wrong? I said, I don't know that I can make it home. So where are you at? I said, well, I'm at Kroger's. She said, leave the car there. I said, no, 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 the dog needs food. I'll get the car home, be fine. And then I started to cry. I am not a crier by nature. I don't know, like I have an intense amount of pain threshold. I can deal with a lot of pain, but I started crying. And right then, Mama switched into like Superwoman protect her man mode, which apparently comes standard at the factory. And so you all know which mode that is. And she's like, stop where you're at. I will be there in 10 minutes. And I'm doing the math. I'm like, oh, you're gonna be speeding to get there by 10 minutes. But I said, no, listen, I'm gonna get home. I'm okay. I know I can make it home. I didn't make it home. I got to Gabe Ubel's place of business on Splatter Inc. over there on Main Street in Woodford and Lawrenceburg. And I walked in, and Gabe can attest that he has seen a man on death's doorstep because I walked in like a zombie, and I said, Gabe, I need you to sit with me until Bethany comes. And I arrived at the ER in Lexington, and they thought I was having a heart attack, and what they found is that a gallstone, a sweet little gallstone, had found its way into my pancreas. Ow. And so that caused severe pancreatitis. And I had never even heard of this affliction before. I'd never heard of pancreatitis. I didn't know what it did. But I'll tell you that I also didn't know, and the doctors didn't let me know, that my life expectancy during those first 72 hours had gone from relatively good to a couple months shy of my, or a couple days short of my 38th birthday. And for 7 days, for the first 7 days in the hospital, laying in that hospital bed, I was allowed to eat a few shards of ice a day and a few sips of water, because that's the only way they can get the pancreas to stop doing what it's doing, right? And in this ordeal, what happened was my pancreas had created this cyst. And this cyst grew to the size of a football, and it had collapsed to my stomach. Some of you saw me at church over a couple months, and I was here with a feeding tube in my nose and then a peg tube because I couldn't eat anything. For 10 and a half weeks, I did not eat food. That is tragic for me. Like, all I wanted, like, and the wonderful people of Hope had set up to bring my family food, and Stephanie brought wonderful food, and old Steve Rose brought his magnificent smoked pork chops, and I'm like, yeah, thanks, buddy. I can't eat. man, I'll just sit in here and smell it. It was, you know, but through that entire ordeal, what happened was I realized that I had a certain set of expectations that came through my raising. My expectations were this, is about my ordeal. Here's my expectations. Stop hurting. I'm going to do everything I can to stop hurting. The second thing was I am going to love on and joke with the hospital staff and anyone else that comes in contact with me as best as I can. And I did that because that was taught to me by my father, who had many numerous health issues. And I saw him in hospitals, and what he would do would he would make the, you know, those terrible jokes that Jeff says at the end, like that there's a steady stream of pastor jokes that also my dad had, and he would share those with anybody. And so that was my second expectation. My third and fourth expectation were to get better and go home. Those were my expectations, but those expectations were crushed by the ordeal that I was going through, because I couldn't control those. The one thing I could control about that, I could not control pain, I could not control getting better and going home. What I could control was that second one, was that I could love on people and I could bring as much joy as I could through humor or whatever while I was in that situation. There was a young CNA, a young nursing assistant that came in, a young man, he had to have been just 20 years old. And I remember him coming into the hospital into the hospital room. It was like 2 a.m. I was still awake, couldn't sleep, rarely did. I don't know why. I mean, hospital beds are the most uncomfortable thing. You're supposed to be getting rest, right? And he came in. He's like, "Hey, man, how you doing?" He's just like, just chipper. I said, "Man, I'm pretty good considering." And he said, "You know what? I love coming in here." I was like, "Okay." He said, "Look, everybody else here is dying." I was like, "Okay, so I'm not." Got it. All right, that's a bonus. He said, no. He said, "Listen, everyone else here has the expectation that they are dying here." He said, "When I walk in your room," he said, "you are the only room on this hall that when I walk in, there is no expectation of death." I was like, "Well, all right." I said, "I'm gonna keep this going then, because it's working." Every time I met some hurdle in my path, while through this 4-month ordeal, the Lord provided the joy that I needed right at the right time. The doctors came in at one time as I thought that I was getting better and we were getting ready to go home, and the doctor gave us a prognosis that was not good. And Bethany and I were sitting there and we were looking at each other and Bethany was like, "Hey, we're gonna make it through this." And it just so happened, I had no idea that two wonderful people from our church, BJ and Becca Steverson, were waiting at the door. They heard the prognosis because they didn't want to come in. But then as soon as we were just distraught by this prognosis, they walk in, and it was so much joy to be able to be with people that just loved us. It was the perfect timing. They could have been held up at a stoplight, but the Lord helped them get there right at the right time. And throughout my entire process, people would show up right at the right time. An old friend from Hope Church, Dave Sullivan, showed up right, 3 minutes before they were wheeling me down to have a feeding tube put in my face. He wheeled in, and he had like, he's like, "I didn't know." He said, "I heard you couldn't eat." He said, but I brought you drinks. And he had like 5 different flavors of everything. And he's like, "I didn't know what you like." And I was like, "I like it all." Oh man, it's fantastic. That was the joy I needed, because I was dreading the thought of having a feeding tube put in. It was the perfect timing, the perfect additive of joy. You know, the Lord continued to provide me reminders in his perfect timing. Fast forward a couple months, and I'd gone through a bunch of different surgeries. And every single time they'd do a surgery, I was expecting to come out and the doctor to say, "Hey, we're good, you're done." But 4 or 5 times, I'd come out of that surgery and the doctor says, "We're gonna have to try again next week." Man, what a to me, what a crusher, because I am just trying to keep my joy. I'm trying to keep the people around me uplifted, and I just continue to have these just crushing defeats, what it seemed like. So they sent me home, and I had to wait for this cyst in my body to mature before they could take it out. And during that time, I hit a really, really low point, because I was choosing frustration over joy. I'm a very active person. I have multiple jobs, and I try and I'm not an idle hands guy. I'm always into something, and I'm passionate about mentoring young people and coaching, and this affliction was keeping me from doing what I felt like I was called to do. And so the frustration completely I let it crush my joy. I chose weakness over the Lord's strength. I was upset that I couldn't do for myself, and what I turned into was a really mean, bad person. I was not very nice to my wife or my sons, because I had let all this other stuff crush me to the point where I didn't want to be in it anymore. Some friends from Hope came before my final surgery and prayed over me and anointed me with oil, and it was a reminder that in that community, within our body of believers, those that stay by themselves, that turn in and try and do it on their own, they are being crushed. Because joy comes from a realization that Jesus, who is the source of joy, can continue to uplift us in struggles. But the struggle, when you're trying to go through it alone, you can't see it. You can't see, it is just the hardest thing to see the end. So I was pretty rotten to my wife at times, and I'll tell you, the entire time that I was going through my struggle, I had the perfect example of joy and love and hope and faith and kindness and gentleness walking with me hand in hand. My wife was a rock. She was an absolute rock. But why was she so confident? You know, she told me she was confident because I had been confident forever. Because I had been reminding her of choosing joy, because I had been reminding her of what our faith brings us to for our entire marriage, leading us through that, so that when I was on my floor, she was there to remind me. She reminded me that just abiding in his truth, that my joy could be made complete. Resting in the Lord can provide joy, an increase of joy that can be made complete. Joy allowed me to say in that valley, it's all good. Because the fact is, joy is the result of recognizing that God is good all the time. He is a good, good Father. Joy sustains us during difficulties because we realize that though happiness may be fleeting, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy is rooted in Christ, and because it is rooted in Christ, it cannot be taken away from you. My joy was always there. I just allowed my frustrations and my pain and all those things to overshadow my joy. But joy never left me. Jesus didn't leave me on the floor. He didn't leave me in that recliner that I slept in for 3 months. He didn't leave me there. He was waiting for me to say, hey, come on. I'm with you to the end. I'm with you through this struggle. Rest in me, and I will make your joy complete. We have a hard time enjoying God and his mercies when we are not sure we belong to him. If we have a misunderstanding that he is against us, that he is disappointed in us, that he is just, that he's not going to accept us, we have a hard time living in that joy. But we are commanded from Psalm 37 to delight in the Lord. Stand firm on the foundation of the acceptance that we are given, because God is on our side as adopted sons and daughters. We have a song that we often sing here, and over the last few months we've sung it often. It brings me to tears nearly every single time we sing it. It's actually the words that when Jeff starts or whoever is leading our prayer time, when he says, tell the Lord that you love him with words of a song, this is what I recite. It's a song that proclaims why we can be filled with joy. It says, you're my author, my maker, my ransom, my savior, my refuge, my hiding place. You're my helper, my healer, my blessed redeemer, my answer, my saving grace. You're my hope in the shadows, my strength in the battle, my anchor for all my days. And you stand by my side, and you stood in my place. Jesus, no other name, only Jesus, no other name. Only Jesus. That's where joy comes from. That is the source of joy. You cannot find it anywhere else. You cannot find it in your wallet. You cannot find it on the street corner. You can only find joy in Jesus, because he is all of those things. And as I have gone through a struggle, I have found that he has been absolutely every one of those things. My author, my maker, my ransom, my savior, my refuge, my hiding place. He has been all those things. He has been my hope. And he has most surely been my strength in my battle. And he will always remain my joy. I love that our mission statement here at Hope Church are the words that Jesus spoke to begin his ministry. He was reading from what we know as Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In captivity, it is difficult to be joyful. When we are blind and broken, it is difficult and immensely difficult to respond joyfully. All he's asking you is to delight in him. Obey that command, delight in him. Rest in Jesus. See how your joy can be made complete. As we enter into a time of invitation, I hope that you see, my struggle is not special. I mean, it really isn't. Because each one of us go through struggles, and I'm sure each one of you could probably have a story that aligns with my struggle, because we go through it. And it may not be your struggle, it may be a loved one's struggle. But I'm telling you right now, like, it may be crushing you. That struggle may be crushing you. And what you need to realize is that your joy is still there, because Jesus has not left you. He hasn't left you. And for those of you who are going through a struggle and you're like, I don't know this Jesus, I don't know this joy, but that sounds really good. I want some of that. Man, today will be a great day for you to come to the altar and say, Lord, I can't even describe what I need, but I know I need you. And so our counselors are going to come up here and we're going to sing a song. And I just pray that you would respond as the Lord would have you respond. If you need to reconnect with your joy, like I said, it's already there. Just reach out. Jesus never left you. Jesus never left you. Never left me. He never left you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I am so thankful for the joy that you provided me in Jesus. And I pray that the church today, these folks gathered here today, would reconnect with your joy. Lord, that they would realize that if they delight in the Lord, that you will give them the desires of the heart of their hearts. Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much that even in our struggles, we can stand on joy. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.